Today is the feast of the Chinese martyrs, Saint Augustine Zhao Rong and his companions. They were all martyred long before the rise of communism, or most of them were anyway. And we know that they're not the only Chinese martyrs. They're the ones that we know, the ones that are documented, the ones that have been officially approved and canonized. But there are thousands of others, martyrs in China. Now, thinking about China, what might come to mind first is China on the world scene nowadays. China is in the news all the time. China because of its great military might, China dominating the Asian world, great economic strength. Almost everything is made in China now, huge manufacturing cities, all the electric cars that we see here, all the solar panels, everything comes from China now. Or we might hear about China's space program. They have their own space station, their own, and they are a nuclear power, and all kinds of things about China. In the worldly sense, China is very, very strong. But we never hear about the spiritual power of China. Cultural power, economic power, military power, yes. Cultural influence. But the church in China is very small, and the number of Christians is very small by comparison to the huge population. And yet, if we understand the spiritual life, the spiritual power of those who are faithful to Jesus Christ, those who are willing to sacrifice themselves for their faith, they have immensely more power than all the things I just mentioned. And you'll never read about them in the secular news. That's who we're talking about here, Saint Augustine Zhao Rong and his companions. They are instruments of immense spiritual power. That's why we celebrate their feast day. Martyrs are agents of extraordinary power for the church, for the world. Augustine Zhao Rong was actually a soldier before he became a Christian. He was a high-ranking soldier. When he discovered the faith, he realized this is much more important, to serve the King of Kings rather than the earthly king. Became a priest. He's the first Chinese priest martyr. That's why his name is highlighted among the 120 of them. But he recognized that there's much more power in serving Jesus Christ than in dominating in the world. This is the kind of power that we encounter when we ponder today's gospel. This is Jesus instructing his apostles. We read yesterday about the choice of the apostles, the choice of each of them by name. Now he's giving them instructions. What does he mean by come and follow me? What does he mean by go out and proclaim the kingdom of heaven? Well, this is what it means. Go out and make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out the demons. Now, when we think of people getting a new job, we think, well, okay, they know what they're getting into before they get hired. And the employer knows whether the new employees are qualified. Otherwise, they wouldn't hire them. So Jesus, in choosing the apostles, has some sense that they can do the job. And they who said yes to Jesus had some sense that they could at least be faithful followers, or they thought that, be fishers of men. But as in any job, there's also kind of on-the-job training. After you're hired, you have to learn the details about what it really means. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He chooses them, but then he trains them. And he gives them this assignment to proclaim the kingdom. And this power, which they don't have on their own. Who has power to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons? He's not talking about human strength or or a technological might. He's not talking about solar panels and nuclear weapons. He's talking about spiritual power, divine power, which he's entrusting to his followers to exercise in his name. You know, the power to raise the dead, the power to cleanse lepers, that's unimaginable power, strength, because it's God at work. Then he tells them, don't carry any money. No money. No sack. No second tunic. No sandals. No walking stick. In other words, be radically poor. So extraordinarily powerful and radically dependent on God. Poor. Poor in spirit. And it's in that mode that they're to go out into the villages and make known the kingdom. This tells us that for us now, we who are also called as followers, as missionary disciples, that the great power available to us will not be exercised properly unless we're willing to be poor, unless we're willing to be dependent on God, willing to let Him be in charge. And this is the challenge to us, because we, like every natural human being, thinks that it's better to have more, it's better to be in control of more, better to know more, have worldly, earthly power. And Jesus says, no, that's actually not that good. It's very hard to use worldly power for the kingdom. It tends to get in the way, because we start to rely on it. We start to think that that's what's important. Much more important to be free of earthly power. Think of what we learned on Sunday, in Sunday's Gospel. Jesus was praising the Father. He thanked the Father. Remember why? Because what you have hidden from the wise and the learned, you have revealed to the little ones. That's at the background of what I'm talking about here. The wise and the learned are the powerful in a worldly sense, like the Chinese government, very powerful. The little ones, we don't see them. They're not noticeable on the world stage. But because they're little, they are the agents of great power, spiritual power. In fact, God's power at work in them. This is what we're called to open ourselves to depend on, God's power. Now, to do that is very risky, because we don't have security. We don't have extra money, extra goods. It's scary to be so poor. In fact, who would ever dare do that? Who would ever dare to live like that? Well, only people who know the love of God, only people who know that it's wise to trust in God, because God's love is so reliable. This is what we see in today's first reading. This is the famous passage in the prophet Hosea, where God describes his love for his people like the love of a tender parent, with drawing his people like a parent holds a little child. I foster them like one who raises an infant to his cheeks. If the infant knows, and of course infants are not so conscious, but they can feel that they're loved. They can feel that there is security, that there's no need to be afraid if they're being held close. That's the love that God has for us. And if we know that, if we put our trust in that, then we can easily live in poverty of spirit, because it's not as risky as it looks. It's humanly risky. It's scary from a natural level. But it's not a risk at all to belong to God. That's the most secure place we can be. God explains here in this first reading that even though the people are sinners, even though they don't listen to me and follow me, I still love them. This is an assurance to us who are sinners, who have not always been faithful, who feel, and rightly, that we're not qualified to be his disciples. That doesn't stop God from loving us, and so it shouldn't stop us from depending on him. So, as we celebrate the Chinese martyrs, let us not be distracted by worldly power. Sure, it's in the news all the time. Warfare, economic might, manufacturing, and all kinds of dominance in the world scene. Nothing by comparison to the power of God at work in the little ones. What the Lord has hidden from the wise and the learned and the powerful, he has revealed to the little ones. We're being invited again to be little ones in the hands of God. And we can do that because God holds us close to his heart. He raises us to his, like an infant to his cheeks. We're in the tender embrace of God. We don't have to be afraid of or worry about taking care of ourselves. God is taking care of us. That's the spirit of a child of God, of a little one. That's the spirit of an effective missionary disciple.